on the telephone with us this morning is the deputy mayor of the city of Bloomington. Who
Mick
is it?
Renheisen.
It's still Mick Renheisen. Good morning. How are you, Mick?
I'm doing well, thanks. I was down in Greensboro last week at a national softball conference trying to get another event for Bloomington along with the Visit Bloomington staff and the park staff, and I'm happy to say we were successful again.
Oh, way to go.
Now what fish did we catch?
We caught the 16-year-old girls' fast pitch Class B Northern Nationals for 2019. So we're locked in the next 2 years with two more girls' fast pitch tournaments in late July. I think the third weekend of July will be the dates for each of these coming up in the next 2 years. The 18 event is the girls 16 and under A, and the 19 event is the girls 16 and under B. So happy to continue the streak for Bloomington softball hosting prowess.
Mick, you getting any calls for anything about like 2022?
I saw that. Very interesting news up in Indianapolis to have the Final Four there, I guess, essentially of football, right?
Yeah. Just a national championship game.
Just that game?
The game, the title game. So
just
that's
that game.
That is the big kahuna in 2022. Well, speaking of softball, you talk about these next 2 years. Just to put it in perspective for people, when you get a tournament like this, what is the impact of visitors? What is the impact of potential dollars?
Each one of these is a little different based on the size and the age group. We have certainly been more successful with more family members visiting when the age group is girls, and the 12, 14, 16 age group is really good for that as they travel with parents that have to drive them here and their siblings tag along, and they become family vacations.
Right.
So we would think there's about 40 or so teams in each of these events, and the estimated economic impact somewhere between $500,000 and $750,000 for these events, each one individually.
Outstanding. So we better hurry up and get that food and beverage tax passed.
Well, that would be helpful for other reasons, to fill our hotels and restaurants and traffic during the weekdays instead of just on weekends. Bloomington's got great traffic on weekends, but obviously these softball events are weekday and weekend events, and an expanded convention center would drive a lot more traffic during the week, which is the goal, I think, of all of us that are trying to see that expansion become a reality.
Hey, Mick, when they do a big event in Indianapolis like a Super Bowl, do we get any fallout from that down here?
We do. We always seem to get that. You can see it from the annual Indy 500. You can see it from major events, the Big Ten Championship. You can see it for anything that the Indianapolis hotels get full from, the Final Four. There's spillover that comes down I-69, 37, all the way down to Bloomington, and sometimes further than that. I've heard people that have stayed in Bedford to go to events in Indianapolis as well.
Well, that's the point. 45 minutes away from Lucas Oil Stadium, 50 minutes or whatever it is, that's a normal commute for a lot of people daily. That's not.
Well, when you
we're not out of the way.
Mm-hmm. No, and when you think about some of the drivers of cost, you know, when we have big events in Bloomington, what happens to our rates? We have three-night minimums, $300-$500 a night. That happens in Indianapolis, too. So visitors to that community are also looking for more affordable options. Bloomington's rates are the opposite of those. When the event is 45 miles away versus when the events are in our community. So sometimes the spillover goes the other way to Indianapolis when our hotel night minimums are higher than normal.
Yeah, I mean, you've been to sporting events where the stadium is nowhere near your hotel and you drive 40 minutes, 45 minutes. It's essentially a suburb in that great thing. Mick Renheisen's our guest this morning. Before we get out of the food and beverage tax, I just want to We know the ball. Whose court is it in right now, and what is a timeline or anything happening with this? I just feel like I never can get my arms around this.
Yeah, that's a great question. The ball is in the county council's court. They have had it really since the county commissioners approved moving forward with a project, and the commission that the county commissioners created, the advisory commission of which I happen to be a member, forwarded a project to the commissioners. The commissioners forwarded it to the council. The county council has to approve or enact the tax. My understanding is they asked for a update of the most recent financial analysis of the convention center expansion that was done 4 to 5 years ago. Their financial consultant should have that report within the next week or so. And then I don't have the exact dates, but I believe sometime in November the county council will be hearing that report, having a presentation from their financial consultant, and then deliberating whether that financial report suggests what alternative for funding exists. Now, we think that the logical choice is the food and beverage tax, but you know, the county's doing their due diligence, as they should, to make sure all of the potential funding options are explored, and then the county council will have to make a vote, and that vote will then determine whether there is a tax or there isn't, or there's a different funding mechanism chosen or there isn't. I would anticipate all those things to happen yet this year, but again, that's the ball's not in our court to make that call.
Gotcha. So now everybody should have a pretty good understanding how it is. How do the holidays affect this? I know we're going to blink. It's going to be Thanksgiving, and I know just a couple weeks after that, on all of a sudden it's Christmas. Is this something that you feel that needs to be done before 2018? Is there any benefit to being done before 2018, or is this we can take another? We don't have anything to do in January anyhow. We'll just do it in January.
Well, I think it's important that this doesn't just languish on, and just continue to drag on. I mean, there needs to be a decision, and that way, if there's not going to be a funding mechanism, then this isn't going to happen, and we can just move on to other things. If there is, and I've heard everybody so far say they believe that we need to expand our convention center, the issue really is how do you fund it?
Right.
So let's just assume we're going to have something. It's just a matter of funding choices. Well, when you get the financial update, you kind of know what your options are. So hopefully it doesn't take much longer after that analysis has been completed and presented and a public hearing is held so residents can express whatever they want to express about a tax. And, you know, there's going to be both sides of that, as there should be. The case to be made for it will need to be strong, and those who don't want to pay an additional tax, we understand that. At the same time, it's not a tax forced on you. You choose to go out to a bar or restaurant, and you choose to eat out, and those things are discretionary expenditures. And I know there's a tax on prepared food at the supermarkets, the items that are prepared, but you know, again, this is 1%, a penny on a dollar, and I hope people can keep that in perspective versus the amount of jobs that this can create, the amount of ancillary business and new businesses that will sprout up, and the redevelopment of our downtown, which is just critical. Everybody, you know, values our Bloomington downtown. We want to see that expand and continue to prosper, and we think this is a big part of that. So so it doesn't make sense from my perspective. I'll just say me, and I think I can speak for Mayor Hamilton, for this to linger on. It's time. This has been discussed for a long time. Let's decide the funding mechanism. Let's move forward. We have a willing partner in a developer for a hotel property who's also indicated an interest in helping build a convention center or letting it become a public convention center built by the community, built by the local government units, and operated locally like it has been successfully for 22 years. So we don't want to lose that interest. We don't lose the momentum of the project as it stands. It's as close as this project has ever come to getting across the finish line. So it either needs to get across, or we need to stumble and fall before the finish line and move on and retrain for something else. But my hope is, and my belief is, this is something the community will benefit from, as it has from the existing convention center, and I think this will happen this time. That's my hope and belief.
Mick, this is not the same ballpark, but the city council is talking about increasing tax on some of the utility services kinds of things. It's not done deal yet. Where are we on that?
Well, it's not a tax. In this case, there's some miscellaneous fees that the utilities charges for hook-ons, for sewer and for water, and for testing for various chemicals in your water and so forth, and those fees have not been updated for 10 years. So all the effort here is to capture the actual cost of sending the staff and the testing fees onto the customer or the business or whomever's hooking on or whoever needs these water testing services. So it's really a service fee, not a tax. It doesn't go on everybody's bill. It only goes on if you're connecting or using a water testing service, and then that's it. A couple years ago, we did this for the metal side, where you want to test for lead or other contaminants, and those hadn't been updated for 4 or 5 years. So we're trying to get back on schedule with adjusting fees so that they don't wait so long, and then they become really, they look really large when you wait 10 years to to increase it instead of doing it on
a
regular
basis. Don't you simply, why isn't that an annual thing? Is the process too arduous to do that annually? Do you have to do it? I know the other things we've talked about has to go through the regulatory commission for 2 years before it gets ratified or whatever the deal is. Is it similar with these things?
No, these are board approved by the utility services board.
Well, it just seems like every day we turn around and look around, there's a new fee, new something happening. Can we just?
Well, none of these are new. These are just existing service fees. Remember, again, not something that none of you are going to get
a new increase. Excuse me, I didn't say that properly. Is there more to come? Should this be something we're looking at next year as well? Because these are there other old ones, so we can know coming down the road this is going to be the case.
That's a great question. I'll have to ask kind of around the staff. I think it's our belief, this administration's belief, that you shouldn't wait so long between adjusting services.
Yeah, I agree.
And so in my parks world, we did this every year. We would refresh our fees. Didn't mean everyone changed. It just meant we looked at them. We analyzed the cost of delivering the service. And then we determined if there was a need to be a fee increase, and it went.
Well, I think it's more palatable for the customer
to enjoy. Well, we got a fee increase by $1,000. That's a pretty good chunk.
Exactly. You know. And so I would agree with both of your contention is we should do these on a regular basis, whatever that regularity should be, a year, 2 years. It shouldn't be 10.
Hey, Mick, real quick, Weimer Dam, do we have to...
Hey, your language. This is radio.
Do we have to tear it down? Is there if we don't tear it down, could it fall down? What's going on there?
Yeah, Weimer, whatever, right? That's the
Wapahani.
How do you say that? Wapahani Mountain Bike Park.
Yes.
One of the great stories of Bloomington is its water sources and how they have been built over more than a century, right? So the
Twin
Weimer
Lakes, Wapahani, Griffey.
Twin Lakes, Wapahani, Leonard Springs, Lake Lemon, and then Lake Monroe, which just turned 50 and is our youngest water source of all. So,
and I wasn't invited to that party either. I'm a little disappointed. I was left out. That invitation never came in the mail.
So Weimer Lake was formed in 1909. And it's obviously not been a water resource for the city for a long time, but it's been a recreation resource managed by the Parks Department with a mountain bike park that was started around 1990. So the Department of Natural Resources inspects dams, and they decided in 2015 there were significant deficiencies to the Weimer Dam, and they recommended it either be decommissioned or reconstructed by 2017. So tick-tock, it's the end of 2017. Utilities Department owns the property. The Parks Department manages it. The Utilities Department determined that it's no longer needed for the service of the utility because of liability concerns. They thought the best thing to do would be to remove the dam. So in a couple weeks, there'll be a bid opening to have someone submit a bid to remove the dam. We expect by the end of November that bid will be awarded, and then in December the project will start. It'll take about a year for it to be completed. And the neat part of this is not just removal of the dam, which is a necessary requirement, but there will be over 500 new trees and plants planted in the remaining section of where the water was held. So it become a wetland with trees and water-related plants, native shrubs, and other vegetation. So that's why it's going to take up to a year before it reopens.
Gotcha.
Some people who fish will miss the old Weimer Dam Lake and fishing there, and a lot of people have fond memories of when that was a Boy Scout area, but it's no longer viable to keep a dam there, so we'll turn it into a wetland, and people will still get to enjoy the mountain bike park and a new wetland created in a year.
Mick, before we let you go, the bicycle thing, we were wrong this morning. I thought the bikes were going to be free. Yeah, there's going to be a fee for that.
There's going to be letters written, strongly written letters.
Another voluntary service. So this is a great partnership between IU and the city, and what we hope to see when the bids come in is some very competitive and interesting options. And I think offline, Keith and I were talking about what most people envision these bike-sharing facilities to be is where there's a rack of bikes, and they're all locked in, the front tire's locked into something. You put your money in, you unlock the bike, but you have to return it to one of those stations. That is not today's technology. These bikes have a built-in locking system that's activated on the back wheel by a QR code that you take your smartphone, you scan the QR code, the bike unlocks, however you pay, Apple Pay or whatever system you use to pay online with your smartphone, pays the fee. We don't know what the fee will be yet. We've heard from the two entities that came for the demonstration day that it's maybe 50 cents to $1 an hour, but you leave the bike wherever because the bike locks again. So could someone pick up the bike and walk off with it? Yes. Could they ride off with it? No, because it locks. when your time runs out.
There you go, Keith. All your questions have been answered.
Not when I go in to get the coffee and I go out and the bike's gone because somebody else rented it.
Well,
you asked me a good question. Could you lock it up during that hour that you're renting it? Well, of course. You know, you could do that. And,
oh, okay.
It's yours for the hour.
But, you know, and there's going to be people who are going to do nefarious things, right?
And it's not going to matter if they have bikes or no bikes. You could just, yeah.
That's it's exciting. We're starting out with hopefully the pilot program will have about 150 bikes, and then the goal is to have a bike per 100 residents, so that'd be about 850 bikes.
Wow.
Over time, and with the bike riding community that we have.
And a new park getting ready to open, mm-hmm. and you can just make all the angles for it.
To come.
That's right. And you
and
can
that's the trivia for the day. And you can for trivia?
No, we can't do any
okay.
trivia. Because
no time for trivia today. We'll hold it for next week.
We had good information.
See if we can remember
now,
for a week.
Mick, Keith wants to know if he can ride that bike to Wapahani and ride it at the bike park. We'll address that next time we get together for all that.
Leaf pickup starts next Monday, November 6th, just to get that out there to residents.
Good.
Leaf
Great.
Pickup, November 6th.
Awesome. The information
Thanks,
is excellent, as always, my friend, and we'll talk to you next week.
You bet.